So get your Bibles out and go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want to preach the rest of this today. It's been a long series, but I really feel like what's going on in the world today and what God's speaking to our hearts and what he's telling us here as a church, the things that we've got to look forward to in 09 is, you know, the main thing we've got to continue to do, and what Pastor Jeremy was just saying, is, you know, we're all called to be disciples of Christ. It doesn't matter how you cut it. You don't get to just, like, you know, you just get to be a Christian at this level. No, we're all called to be everything that we can be for Jesus. Amen? He didn't call us and say, well, you just got in the just saved crowd. Right? You don't just get fire insurance to go to heaven. It's not just you got the key to get in the door. No, no, no. It's that we're our whole lives, everything that's going on is to be lived for Jesus with all of our heart. Amen. And so that's really, when you put it in, you know, layman's terms or look at it, we're called to be disciples. And disciples means you're going to be a learner. You're going to be a grower. You're going to be continually walking with Jesus. And so we started this message off, and I was on 4 points. I don't know how I could get so long on 4 points, but, you know, I'm a good preacher. We can stretch a message, you know, longer than can be stretched. But anyway, and the first thing that we talked about is that in this year of coming up and all the things going on, all the problems and all the ups and the downs and this and the that's and the rumors of war and the wars, okay, is that we have to have godly conviction within our lives. If we do not have godly conviction, I'm not talking about conviction like you feel bad that you got caught doing something. No, no, no. I'm talking about the conviction of God that's within our lives, that every day we're hearing the voice of Jesus for our lives in what's going on. That's the conviction I'm talking about. The conviction of when you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your business, you're wanting to hear from heaven. Now, I like counsel of men who are have done good things and have you know, I talk to other pastors about what's going on in their churches and how things are going. There's nothing wrong with manly wisdom, okay, or, you know, good counsel. But I'm telling you what, we need to hear from heaven, because Jesus is the one that can look into your life and say, look, you just need to do this, and that may be something that nobody else has ever done. But if we don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, that we're hearing him every day, we're talking to him every day, okay, then there's not going to be any conviction. If we don't have conviction, we're going to miss it. A good example, the other day, I was out working, and it was as if nothing I could do would work. It was like I could barely even get the wheels on my truck to turn. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It seemed like no matter what I did, it just wasn't working, and I was just getting frustrated. And so finally, I told my son, I'm leaving. I'm going. I had enough. Just go on and forget it. Just go home. I can go sit on the porch and not get anything done. You know, drink coffee and talk to Jesus. You know, I ain't no sense being out here being frustrated. And so I started to leave, and I ran into a person and ended up witnessing to them for 2 hours about Jesus. They were asking the questions. I was mad and going home. I mean, that's absolutely the truth. I was mad and going home, but they started asking me the questions, and I realized, wait a minute, I've been missing it all day. I've been trying to get this job over here done when that wasn't the job the Lord wanted me to do that day. It was this job over here. See, that's conviction. You got to be sensitive to the things that God's speaking to you and what's going on. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sensitive. I just blundered right into it and just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and thank God for God doing that in our lives. Amen? So we got to have conviction. The second thing is we got to be willing to sacrifice. You know, we don't want to sacrifice. The more we have in America, the more we want. How many of y'all have been frustrated at a fast food restaurant because your food didn't get there fast enough? I mean, we've taken fast food to the place that you don't even want to wait. You want to just walk up there and they knew what you were thinking, and it was at the door, and you got it, and they had your change. Come on. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference. We're just that kind of people. As humans, we just want more and more and more and more, but we're not willing to sacrifice. Listen to me. You're going to have to sacrifice your time. You're going to change your lives to hear from heaven. And that means you've got to spend time praying. There's a song that I'm going to come up with here pretty soon another artist. I'm trying to get it all down. It's called "It's Nobody's Fault But My Own." And I'm telling you, there's nobody's fault but our own, folks. It's our time to sit and read the Bible. It's our time to turn off the television. It's our time to quit. You know, the amount of time we spend worrying, if we'd spend praying, we'd be just, we'd be out there. Amen? We'd just be rocket Christians. So we got to sacrifice. The third thing we talked about is that the call of God upon each and every one of our lives, it's individual. So we've got to realize, folks, that even though we're as a corporate body here at Living Waters, and we worship God, and we do this, and we'll do country, and we'll do a contemporary worship or whatever. But you got to realize that the call of God from each and every one of us is individual. Like this morning, I could tell, though, sometimes the individual calls go over onto the other person's call, because I could realize, I don't know if y'all noticed this morning, that Pastor Jeremy seemed like he was even more fiery and anointed this morning during the offering message, and it's because he has on boots. I know. So sometimes the individual call upon the pastor oozes over under the other line. But our calls are individual. Each and every one of you are going to get to where you've got to find, you know, some of you want to read your Bible in the morning, and some of you are night people, and some of you are midday people. And you've got to find the individual call for you. Amen? Look at the person and say, you got to find your own. Right there. Look. Say, you got to find it your own. Got to find your own. Got to find your own. So that takes us to the fourth thing that I've been on for a long time here, is all of that means nothing if you're not going to be obedient to do it. And obedience is the last thing. We have to be obedient. Now, we've talked about that there's different kinds of obedience. There's obedience by submission. There's obedience by force. There's obedience by wisdom. There's obedience by faith, but I want to talk to you about the last one this morning, obedience by the Spirit, okay? Obedience by the Spirit. Now, let's read here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 20. He says, but the Lord has taken you and has brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance as you are to this day. You know how he says the iron furnace? I don't know about y'all, but I'm so glad that I met Jesus and I got saved. I am so glad that he took me out of the iron furnace of my life, the craziness of life, the problems I had in life, and brought me into the kingdom of God. I'm glad he didn't leave me. I'm glad he didn't look out there and say, well, ain't no hope for Robert. Because I have to get up every day and no matter what's, we always want life to be perfect. I don't know about y'all, but I think we all do. And if you don't, there's probably something wrong with you. I mean, I don't think any of us want to get up and have a bad day. We all want things to go along as we would like them to, but they don't. But I'm glad to know that I'm not subject to whatever my day throws at me, because I'm subject to the kingdom of God, because I'm in his house. He's my God. And it says right here that he wanted to take you out of the iron furnace. He wanted you to be his people and you to be his inheritance. Folks, we live in our Christian walk, and so many Christians are going around, they don't want to have a relationship with God because they feel like God's mad at them for their life that they're living, and they're not, you know, cutting the mustard. So why would God want to have a relationship with them? And the truth, that's nothing could be farther from the truth, because the whole truth of the matter is God wants to have a relationship with us. As rotten as we are, he wants to have a relationship with us. Look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. God says, no, you're my special people. This is all about y'all. This is all about getting you into the family and getting you into the kingdom and having a relationship with you. You're my special people. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to talk to you. I want to be there with you. And it's the devil, the enemy, coming into our own mind saying, oh, you better not go to God, because, man, he's got that baseball bat behind his back, because he's just been waiting for you to come close to the throne so he could put a knot on your head. You know, and we gather our feelings, our emotions, our perceptions of father based upon our earthly fathers. And so many times, if our earthly fathers were not, were not good, we're not nurturing in life, well, then our concepts are messed up about our fathers. So we just think we're going to be in trouble. And the truth of the matter is, without the blood of Jesus, we would all be in trouble. Without Jesus, we would have nothing. Because you got to understand something. God's not mad at you because he already poured all of his wrath out upon Jesus. And you're in Jesus. And it's all been poured out on him. And so when he looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus. So of course he wants to have fellowship with you. Of course he wants you to be his special people. Of course he wants to have this relationship with you, because he's not looking at your faults. He's looking at Jesus's victories. Glory to God. Glory to God. He wants to have a relationship with all the time. The door is open. We're in this age of grace, this great dispensation of the age of grace right now, where people can confess with their mouth and believe in their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and have a relationship with God. And what gets me is the world. I just don't even understand. I do, but it blows my mind that the world can go out there and there can be other religions and they don't ever offer a Jesus. They never offer a mediator. They never offer somebody that will wash away your sins and took your punishment. It's always a life based upon how you can perform. And folks, we're not under performance anymore. We're under Jesus. We're under his blood that washed us and cleansed us. Amen. So because this is the life we're living and we want to be a special people, God said, look, I got to do something for y'all. He said, I got to do something for humanity. So go over to I'll show you, start back here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. Let me just work towards the New Testament here. God says, I got to do something. Because the problem is, I don't want people trying to be obedient by me having to say, do it or I'm going to fry you. Because he says, you're not going to do it. And then I'm going to have to fry you. So he says, I want you to be my special people. I want you to be my inheritance. I want to have a covenant with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And so Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19, God says, this is what I'm going to do for you. He said, I want to give you one heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit within you. Everybody say a new spirit. He said, look, I got to do something. I got to take out the old stony heart of your flesh, and I got to give you a heart of flesh. He said, I got to come inside of you. I know how to make you, or not make you, but I know how to get you to walk in obedience. I'm going to do it by the Spirit. I'm going to come on the inside of you, and I'm going to put a new spirit on the inside of you. I'm going to take that old stony, hard heart out of you, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh on the inside of you. He says, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. It's the only way you're going to be able to do it. You see, church, if you try to serve Jesus, you try to serve God, you can have it all in your head. You can have all the understandings in your mind. And you can look at, you can write your, plot your chart down. Go get you a chalkboard. Write it down. Give you the whole things. You can have it as a screensaver on your computer. Pops up all the things you ought to do as a Christian. But let me tell you what, if it's not in your heart, you're going to be doing it based upon ritual. You're going to be doing it based upon religion. And you're going to do it grudgingly. You're going to do it grudgingly. And your obedience to God is going to be obedience based upon force, upon thinking you're not going to, you know, if I don't, consequences are going to be terrible. Not based on a heart out of love and says, man, I just want to serve Jesus because he died for me and I want to live for him. I want to do what God called me to do in life because I want to be pleasing to the kingdom. It's in your heart. There's a difference. And too many Christians out there have never caught the understanding, and they've joined churches and they've gone to church and they've gone through all the rules, but there wasn't a heart change. And church, that's what we've got to have across the face of the earth. That's what America needs, is a heart change right now. We've got to have a heart change. America's looking at it. They're throwing, you know, they're throwing Christianity in the lump with everything else. and saying, well, it doesn't really make any difference. You can be a Christian if you want to, but you can be a Muslim if you want to, or you could be a Hindu or a Buddhist, whatever. You know, it's really okay because it's all just, you know, it's one big God and we're all serve him and it's going to be okay. And folks, let me tell you what, that is the most dangerous, deceptive lie from the pit of hell that's ever been perpetrated upon the people. Because I'm telling you what, that's not, because if you go look everywhere else, nobody has a mediator and his name is Jesus. And when you take Jesus out of the equation, I'm telling you, you will know nobody measures up to the perfection that God requires. God says, look, I only have one mark. There's only one line. You know, you know, when you're in high school, I don't know why everybody's drawn to think that we can high jump. Now, it never was a real, you know, when you're built in the body like I am, you don't think much about high jumping. But you just, it's just like that bar is sitting there and it just does something to you. It makes you think, I think I can jump it. Am I the only idiot here or what, you know? You just think, I can do it. I know I can. I can jump it. Well, when God set the bar, it's not like, okay, let's put it low and see if you can make it and then we'll keep raising it. No, God said, here's the mark. The mark that here, it's perfection. Be perfect as I am perfect. That's all I'm asking. That's a pretty high mark. Right? No way am I going to clear perfection. But Jesus did. He cleared it. He cleared the mark. Gave his life for us. He cleared the mark and went on the other side and landed on the mat. And now he says, hey, if you believe that I did it, you believe I'm the Son of God, then my blood will cleanse your sins and my blood will make you perfect so you can be perfect like my Heavenly Father's perfect. And folks, when you start throwing Christianity in the mix with everything else and you take Jesus out of the equation, you got nothing. You got a whole bunch of rules and regulations that are not going to get anybody any closer to God because you can't, because our obedience then is our obedience out of fear and out of force, not out of faith and by the Spirit. And I just, you know, I try to behave myself, but I'm telling you what, I'm so just skin crawling, infuriated at what I see happening to America right now, what I see being what's going to be taking place in the next months in America right now, because that's what's happening is they're stripping the liberties that we have to worship and serve God with all of our hearts, to be a nation that's distinguished as a Christian nation. It's being stripped from us, church. And it's time for us to scream louder than we've ever screamed. It's time to you know, I'm so mad because I want to know more to do. I'm ready to charge. I just don't know where to charge. And I'm telling you, we can't let it slide. We have to stand stronger than we've ever stood. When God looked down, he says, listen, you're not going to be able to do it. Grand, you can't do it. You're going to have to do it by the Spirit. He says, so I got to put a new spirit in you. Now, here, go to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Let's look what Jesus said about this. In Matthew chapter 11, excuse me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The greatest revelation you can have is the day that you come to the understanding that you're never in your strength or your abilities going to be able to cut the mustard, measure to the mark that God has set. And you say, I've got to have a Savior. I've preached this before, but man, as long as I see one new face, I get to say it again. So it's story number 36. But I'm telling you, if we in here lined up this morning and we got us a panel of people to judge who was the biggest sinner in here this week. And so we all started spilling the beans and somebody was taking all of it down. And so they're having a vote over there. Well, so-and-so, oh, you did what? Oh, my gosh, you went way up the list there. And so I got everybody in here. And I don't know how many people are in here, but let's just say there's 150 people in here. And we lined everybody up, and we started from number one being whoever the panel felt like was the biggest sinner this week, all the way back to the 150th one who you sinned this week, but you weren't as bad as number one, right? And I lined all of y'all up. So if you're in the back of a line, you know, you're feeling like, hey, it's not too bad. You know, I mean, you know, I did wrong, but, you know, woo, hey, glad I'm not number one up there. Right? That's how y'all be feeling, right? You're going to go, I'm going to present you before God. I mean, you'd be saying, woo, yeah, poor old boy. You're going to toast them up there. You'd be saying, man, I'm glad I behaved myself. Glad I didn't do too much this weekend. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That when you got to the front and you got to talking to God, you're going to find out that the guy that's in the front, yeah, he missed the mark, but the guy in the back did too. And it's there's no variance there. It's all didn't cut the mustard. Didn't make it. They all fell short. You see, our humanness, we want to look and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But being not as bad as so-and-so is nothing. A sinner's a sinner. You all right? You with me? So, wait a minute now. We all have to have a mediator. We all have to have the blood applied. And then when the blood's all applied of Jesus, that's all covered and gone. So now we're all, there's no number one to number 150. Oh, but then we Christians. Ooh, man, we're so stupid. After we got the blood of Jesus applied to our lives and our sins are all forgiven, then we get to trying to see if we're better than the other one. Because, you know, I'm really living pretty good now. So now we're all running this race because everybody's in competition with everybody. Like, you know. Cows are trying to get through the gate same time. When it's all, the blood's covered it all, and there is nothing like that. He says, it's got to be by the Spirit, because no matter how much you're trying to perform, you still, even in your Christian walk, you see, you can't do more good deeds to make up for the bad, because what are you doing? It's by works then. And we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace, we're saved by the blood. Come on. Y'all looking at me funny. So obedience by the Spirit. Jesus said, man, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's rest in Jesus because we're dependent in Him. My relationship's with Him. We're saying, Lord, I thank you, your blood did it. One time I was in the jails and I was preaching and I remember telling the guys, it was so funny that they're all there and everybody was listening. And I said, yeah, you know, like let's say there's a password to get into heaven. And that's all I said. I just said, let's say there's a password to get into heaven. That's all I said. And I lost the service. Everybody said, what? There's a password? Nobody told us about it on password. What do you mean, preacher, there's a password? Tell us a password. I said, no. I said, if there was, what is it? And I said, there isn't one. No, you said there was. I said, well, if there is one, it would be Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, preacher, don't be scaring us like that, man. Nobody told us about a password. The old Pentecostals used to always pray, and they always use the phrase saying, I plead the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. And now I'm telling you what, man, I'm that away. I'm going Pentecostal when I get to heaven. I mean, I'm just going to say, man, I plead the blood of Jesus. I don't know what to say. This Jesus in the blood, Jesus in the blood, Jesus in the blood. Amen? So, Jesus said, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest. How many of y'all like rest? Man, I hate striving. I hate digging post holes when the dirt keeps falling back in the hole. And so when you're doing that in life and you're trying to live your Christianity like that, as much as deep as you're digging your hole thinking you're doing something good, the dirt keeps falling back in, you know, you get tired of that after a while. But when you sit back and rest in Jesus, say, Lord, I thank you that you've got it taken care of. By the Spirit, you're working in my life. By the Spirit, you're coming in and you're working these things out of my life. By the Spirit, Lord, my relationship is with you, Jesus. And by the Spirit, you've put a new heart in me. And you're starting to work these things out. And those feelings I've got and those issues I've got and those thoughts I've got. starting just to work them out of my heart. Thank you, Lord, it's by the Spirit, not by my striving. My striving. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I find rest, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Now, flip back a couple of chapters to chapter 7. I want to wrap it up. There's a scripture here that I think we pass over all the time, and I want to bring it out to you. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. The other day I was reading that, and I read it just about like that. And then the Spirit of God just stopped me, and he said, go read that again. And so I went and read again, didn't see anything, read again, didn't see anything, read again, said, well, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying here. It says, asking it will be given to you, seeking it will find, knocking the door should be opened to you. We put that as like a prayer, right? Well, asking it shall be given. Well, we need to pray, asking it'll be given. Y'all ever use that? Ever say like that? Oh, well, so-and-so needs help. Well, the Bible says asking, it'll be given. But it says seek then next, and you'll find, not if it was in that context, he would have said, ask and it will be given. Open your arms and receive. And you have your answer. You see, but it doesn't say that. It says, ask and shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And the Lord said, Robert, what's one of the things that you just hate to do? So I thought for a minute. I said, I hate to ask for directions. I wander through the city for hours endlessly. Where I'm going to stop and ask anybody for directions. And I feel like I'm cheating if I, like, look at a map or anything. It's like, I know I can find it. It's in that direction. I'm off over there. I just need my compass, sweetie. It's all I need. And the Lord said, yeah, that's right, Robert. This is not specifically for about answering prayer. It's about finding direction. Ask for directions, and it's going to be given. But then, he says, wait a minute. But then you're going to have to seek it. You see, this is where people miss it. They want the fast food faster. So they just want to ask and get it, and then that's it. Their walk in their relationship with Jesus then ended because they're just, you're like, I'm in the club. I joined. I paid my dues. It's okay. I'm a member. Right? And then we don't have to do anything else. But that's not what it says. It's ask and it will be given what? The direction. So then you're going to have to what? Seek it out. So ask and it was given to you. Lord, I need some help. Jesus. That was the answer you got. Oh, so what do I do with this? You're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to seek him out. You're going to go through and start to seek him out because you're going to have to find him. So, I mean, like in my mind, as I sort of see this, I sort of see it like you got the directions, you know, and here's the directions, but now you're having to go seek the directions out down the buildings. Okay, let's see. Okay, now there's more to it than just asking. You had to do something with it. Now you've got the directions. You're having to find it. You're having to go down the list. Oh, wait, okay, here. Okay, now this is this street. What's funny is the only time I'll ever look at a map for directions is if I have to go downtown San Antonio. Because if they would just make all the streets two-way streets, we'd be okay. But those one-way streets, man, they just freak me out because every time I know where I want to go right there. But how can I get there? Right? But you're having to do that. And so many times, Laura, you know, she'll be navigating. She'll say, well, you have to go down because I don't really want to read the map. But it's okay if my wife told me. Then it's all right. I'll allow that. And so she'll say, well, you know, this street's going this way. You got to go to the next street. You don't have to turn. And then I'll go up there and she'll say, well, you're supposed to turn here. I say, well, there's no street here. You know, it's blocked off. Okay, well, let's see. Wait a minute. Hold on. You know, go up here. And so that she's directing me up. You see, I got to seek it. It takes effort on our part. There's no one-time fix. Okay, whoo, whoo, whoo. You know, and everything's all done. You got to seek it. You got to find it. You got to go through there. Then when you find it, you find the address, then you have to knock. It's about directions. And he says, and if you knock, It's going to be open to you. So many times Christians get right to the door and all they got to do is knock, but they're scared to knock because what if I knock on the other side of the door? And, you know, what if Jesus opens the door and then he wants me to change something I'm doing in life and I don't really want to change and do that? I don't know if I really want to knock or not. I mean, I know that's where the door is and, you know, I don't know. Golly, it's going to make me change or whatever. And so you go away from the door. You go on off and you know where those directions are. And then before long, as a Christian, instead of making it all the way to the end of it, you just know the direction's really good. And so you start telling other people, oh, yeah. Oh, you want your answer is Jesus. You down there, you know, Avenue A, number 163. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, going down there. That's where he's at. But did you ever go knock on the door? I tell you, God is so awesome that he will use people who don't even know Jesus to tell them others about Jesus. They never knocked on the door themselves. They never opened the door themselves. They never walked in. They never developed a relationship with Jesus. They never had a relationship with Jesus. They never understood what his blood did for them. They never walked in that door. But they'll send others down there because they know it's right. Because religion teaches us it's right. Our heads teach us it. Our grandparents taught us it was right. Whatever taught us it was right. But they didn't go down that door. It's really quiet in here. You got a Bible. It's full of it all right here. Every answer, everything you're looking for, it's right here. And isn't it funny, you know, we've got study helps. I went in a store the other day looking at Bibles. I was shocked at how many Bibles were. I was actually with a person who was trying to buy a Bible, and they were asking me, you know, take the preacher with you to buy a Bible. I was looking, I was just like, Lord have mercy, there's a Bible for everything, every occasion in here. You got the Spirit Bible, the Word Bible, the Devotional Bible, the Rainbow Bible, the, you know, Tootsie Roll Bible, the chocolate Bible, the pink Bible, the green Bible, the highlighted Bible, the unhighlighted Bible, the plain one, the King James. And I was just looking, I was like, I'm confused. I want a Bible. I mean, I actually said to the salesperson, I'm trying to help this man buy just a Bible. That's all I'm looking for. Do you have one? Just a plain, I mean, just a New King James Bible or, just a Bible. I mean, that's all I'm looking for. And they actually said, well, let me see. I was like, just forget it. I'll go find something else. We shouldn't make it that complicated. It's all right here. Just read the red and do it. But it's like, well, love my neighbor. We get like the Pharisees. Well, who's my neighbor? Anybody within 4 miles? Let's make that 3.5 because the guy's at 4 miles. I don't really like him too much. Right? We want to put all these, you know, well, you know, and the one, you know, I'm as bad as any of you is to live peaceably with all men. If it possible. Should never put that in there. Because it's easy for me to just say, it ain't possible. Pray for your leaders. I'll pray for them. Fire, come down from heaven. Come on. Fire of God. Yeah. See, we make it to what we want it to be rather than just reading it and doing it. Amen. So our obedience has to be by the Spirit. The only way it's going to be by the Spirit is for you to find out, ask for Jesus in your life, to seek him out, to go the full distance to the door and knock and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm giving up everything. I want you to come into my life. No matter what I have to do or what I have to become, I want you in my life. And that point, when that happens to you, church, listen to me. When you come to that decision, when you come to that point in your heart journey walk, boom, by the Spirit of God, He comes into your life. And now you're not serving him out of obedience by force. You're serving him out of obedience by the Spirit, because he comes in and supernaturally changes your heart. And if you've never had that experience, and we want to label it, we want to say, oh, well, that's the born-again experience. That's this is what we do. This is. Folks, listen to me. If you've not done that, and then you're wondering why you don't have rest in your life, it's because you never got the door open. You never went the full distance. So, oh, Pastor, you're scaring me. What do? I told you. You got to do it. You got to do it. Man, if I could throw some holy water on you, you know, just kind of sizzled and burned. And then all y'all are, oh, yeah, I got it. Man, I'd be chunking water. We got to have a cattle spray up here. But I can't do it that way. It's by your heart, your journey, your walk. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hey, go all the way. If you would, stand to your feet, please.